From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Joy for the Cast Out. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Possibly this text may not apply to 1 in 1,000 who hear the words of this little book of promises. But the Lord cheers that one in such words as these. Let us pray for all such as are cast out wrongfully from the society which they love. May the Lord appear to their joy. The text applies to truly gracious men who tremble at the word of the Lord. These were hated of their brethren, and at length cast out because of their fidelity and their holiness. This must have been very bitter to them, and all the more so because their casting out was done in the name of religion, and professedly with the view of glorifying God. How much is done for the devil in the name of God? Use of the name of Jehovah to add venom to the bite of the old serpent is an instance of his subtlety. The appearing of the Lord for them is the hope of his persecuted people. He appears as the advocate and defender of his elect. And when he does so, it means a clear deliverance for the God-fearing and shame for their oppressors. O Lord, fulfill this word to those whom men are deriding.
Take off my guilty fear.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life. In verses 8 through 15 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of his personal knowledge of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is not simply preaching theological concepts. He had experienced the life-changing effect of the gospel in his own life, and his one desire was to make that gospel known to as many people as possible. In the text before us, Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. He rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel to transform sinners into saints through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, Paul had personally experienced the power of Christ's merits. He knew that there was nothing else that could prevail in God's sight for the salvation of lost, guilty sinners. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message the gospel, the foundation and the fullness of the Christian life.
There's only one merit that avails with God. That's the merit of Christ. There's only one obedience that has satisfied the law of God. That is the obedience of Christ. There is only one way of acceptance with God, and that is by faith in Jesus' merit. And Paul was rejoicing in the efficacy of the merits of Christ, in the power of Jesus' obedience unto death, to save sinners, to justify them completely, and establish them in a right standing with God. He also rejoiced in the experience of Christ's merits. And he wasn't thinking at this point of his own experience, but that of the Romans. He was rejoicing that what he was preaching to the Romans was not theory. He knew that there was an answer in their heart. You know, that's a great thrill for any preacher. Some of you, when you first came to this church, had never heard of the doctrine of justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ. You'd never heard of the imputed righteousness of Christ. True of some of you, not all. And I've seen over the years people's lives changed, so that when I now begin to explore what the Bible says about the gospel, I can see lives, I can see faces alight with joy. I can see lives that have been changed by the power of this gospel. And I know there are hearts that are answering and saying, I have experienced that. Paul had that joy as he was writing to these people. The Romans knew by experience that the gospel was a glorious gospel. They knew that it was a powerful gospel. They knew that it had set them free. They knew that they were new creatures in Christ. They knew that they had peace with God. These were people living in the shadow of death. These were people living in the imperial capital, knowing there was every possibility that the madman on the imperial throne would decide to slaughter them. 7 years after this, he washed the streets of Rome with their blood. They died in multitudes, but they died in victory. They knew that they could face death, but they were rejoicing in the power of the gospel. Oh, it was no cold little theory. It wasn't just a matter of slouching off to church on a Sunday and saying, oh, Sunday again, I've got to go to church. No, they were rejoicing. They had the experience of the gospel and its power. Nothing thrilled Paul so much as seeing such gospel fruit. It delighted him to hear of lives saved by grace. He loved to see people saved through his own ministry. In fact, he was constantly seeing people saved through his own ministry. When you look at a place like Athens, where all the commentators say this was Paul's great failure. Hey, come off it. That was Paul's failure? The people who say it was a failure haven't seen God do as much through them in 50 years. But it was Paul's failure. His failure led to the foundation of the entire Athenian church. And from Athens and Corinth then, there came the great Eastern church, which produced in the early days so much glorious fruit and so many men to stand for God. This was Paul's failure. Paul was used to seeing people saved and it thrilled his heart. But you know the greatness of the grace of God in Paul? He looked at that church in Rome and he had no hand in founding it. And it thrilled him just as much. That's real grace. That's how you know a man of God. When it's the work of God that thrills his heart, not just the work of his hands. Just rejoicing that these people had the experience of the merits of Christ. You know the best news you could give me tonight is the news that you're saved. I don't care whether you're rich or poor. Now I know that you'd want to have, as a friend of mine said years ago, money doesn't matter, but it's very useful when you're going to the shop. And I know you'd want to have enough to go there. But whether you're rich or poor doesn't ultimately matter. Whether you're great or whether you're not great in the eyes of the world, whether you have the intellect to go and do a PhD or whether you have hardly the brains to struggle through grade school, that doesn't matter. The greatest news you could give me tonight is that you have the experience of the applied blood of Jesus Christ. You could say, I have been to Calvary for the cleansing power. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Man, I'd really thank God for that. Ultimately, I don't really care whether you're a Free Presbyterian or a Baptist or whatever. If God sends you here, I want you here. I don't mean to be dismissive here. But you see, you could be a Baptist and perish in hell. You'd be a Free Presbyterian and perish in hell. Oh, what I want to hear from you is that I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus Christ. I have made my way to the cross as a poor, vile, guilty sinner. And I've cried to God, have mercy upon me. And He has justified me and accepted me and saved me, reconciled me. Man, that's what rejoiced Paul's heart. There's nothing would rejoice my heart so much as that, is to know that you're in Christ. And then Paul rejoiced in the effects of their faith in Christ. He said, your faith is proclaimed in the whole world. That's a wonderful thing. There was a sort of a liberal commentator, and he made the comment that this meant that they had turned from idols to serve God. And there was another great American commentator, W.S. Plumer, who said, you know, he may as well have said anything, but they've turned from theft, they've turned from any sin to serve God. That's more than that. It says their faith. It's the faith in the gospel that's being praised here. And he said this, the faith of the Romans was a mighty principle. It turned them from all sorts of sin. It made them love all the commandments. It especially regarded Jesus Christ. And there in the imperial city set up the banner of the cross in so fearless and public a manner that the Church of Rome was already a city set on a hill that couldn't be hid, but her faith was spoken of over the Roman Empire. You know, there were little bands of Christians in tough places throughout the empire. If you've read any of the accounts of the history of the period, if you've ever read, for example, of the letters of Pliny to the emperor, Pliny the Younger, to the emperor, you'll see a man of learning, a man of culture, who could quite dispassionately admit the virtues of the lives of the Christians and equally dispassionately describe how they were tormented just because they were Christians. Here and there, in fact, all throughout the empire, there were little groups of people, growing groups of people. And they were under pressure. They were facing sometimes imprisonment. One of the most heart-rending stories you'll ever read in Christian history is the story of Perpetua. And if that's a name you've never heard of, go look it up. And instead of reading the crazy romances that the world makes up, read something of the history of the grace of God in a young woman's life. Go read what these people were struggling with. And then comes the news in Rome, right under the shadow of Caesar's palace. The church is thriving. Indeed, right inside Caesar's house, people have been saved. This is the news that's getting out. And far from running around like little dogs with their tails tucked between their legs, these people are going out publicly, and they're standing for God, and they're preaching the gospel, and they're seeing sinners saved, and they have the power of the Holy Ghost, and the world was hearing what God was doing through these Christians in Rome. Paul was rejoicing in the effects of the faith of the Romans, not just in their own lives, but to the ends of the earth. Now that is a very dangerous thing for me to say, because it opens up too many doors, and they all beckon me to run through them, and that would make for a long service. But I want to tell you something. This church here in Greenville, South Carolina, small, insignificant though we are, this church cannot settle to be anything less. What I'm wanting you to get tonight, if you believe the gospel, you can't be satisfied with saying, I believe. You can't be satisfied by saying simply, I'm satisfied saying, I'm learning. Man, this has got to grip your heart. This has got to motivate your soul. This has got to set your life ablaze. This has got to get you moving. This has got to make this church a church that is living by the faith of the gospel, so that wherever the gospel is taken, it will have a testimony that will be a blessing to the people of God wherever they are, and will be used to bring others to Christ. Paul was rejoicing. This is his thanksgiving. But I want you to notice this. He's saying to these people, you people are a glowing testimony to this glorious and powerful gospel of justifying grace that you have believed. But the whole import of this passage is, and this is why he wanted to go, you still have a need. What is that need? Well, the rest of the book really is the answer to that. You need to be instructed more fully, more deeply in the gospel. And this is where Paul differs from most of the people who preach today. You listen to most preaching to Christians today, and what's it all about? That may be true enough, and it may have its place, but it must be a minor place. But it is how to solve this problem, how to solve that problem, how to be happy in this situation, how to feel fulfilled in another situation. And here are the principles by which you solve these problems or come to these positions. But there's no exposition of the gospel. What I have been laboring to do over these weeks as we have ponderously made our way through these opening verses of Romans is to show you that Paul links everything he says to the central truth of justification by grace through faith in the merits of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And everything must be vitally linked to that. If I could use an example, take this gospel. That's the heart. Now listen. If your heart stops beating, even if the greatest brain surgeon in the world examined your brain, it'll just be what Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot called Little Grey Cells. None more. You may have the most beautiful body in creation if your heart starts beating. They can examine that body all they like. They can describe its proportions. It's dead. In other words, there's no part of you of any use apart from the core of your being. So it is with the gospel. There's no use looking at the problem of this part of my life, the problem of that part of my life, the problem of my prayer life, the problem of my home life, the problem of my finances, the problem of this, the problem of that, and look at all these ways of dealing with those problems. There's no use in doing that unless you get the gospel at the heart of it. Paul is saying you people have a need, and that need is to plunge to the depths of the gospel. Get to know it. I want to tell you, When we adopt that, we'll find that the gospel will so govern our lives that it will teach you how to respond to every situation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.